Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We are off and running here on a Friday, and we pray that you are having an incredibly wonderful, marvelous, fantastic day. As you know, Friday's my day off, and so I fully intend on having a wonderful, wonderful day off, and I pray that you will do the same as well. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Merritt Assembly of God is the lead sponsor of the Refresh Radio program. It is a ministry of the church, and as such, you know, we believe in getting the good news of Jesus Christ out onto the airwaves. If you do not have a church home, we would love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, and come and see you. You know, the jokes I tell on here are the same type of jokes that I tell when I'm preaching. I'm not a comedian. But I do tell pastor jokes and dad jokes from time to time, to get points across. And so, not too long ago, it would have been back in January. But there was a person that was having a conversation with my wife, and they'd been to the church, a few times, and they were just really, really impressed with how welcoming the people were, friendly the people are, and hospitable. And, that it feels like a family, though very few of us are related. We didn't know one another until we started worshiping at Merritt Assembly of God. And we're always looking for the family to grow. And so if you do not have a church home, or you're looking for a church where you can not only hear the word of God, but you can build relationships with people. A conversation that I had with another person said, you know, we really underestimate the value of relationships with other believers. It's more than just rubbing shoulders together on a Sunday. We need relationship with one another. And so, if you are looking for that type of church, we would love to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God this coming Sunday, at 10:30 in the morning. I'll be teaching Sunday school at 9:30, and, I will be back in the pulpit this week. So, we encourage you, to come check us out. We're not the largest church in town, but we do serve the largest God in the universe. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the creator of all known things. He's the only one who is worthy to be praised, honored, and adored. So we have unlimited potential because of the size of our God. To Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, we go today. We are talking about the devotion of the believer. And in Acts 2:42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." We are, in the New International Version, it talks about being devoted, or they devoted themselves steadfastly, or devoted themselves stubbornly, is the way that I put it, to Jesus. They devoted themselves to doctrine. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. And today we are going to be talking about that thing that we were just describing about our church, and that is, they devoted themselves to fellowship. I think that in modern times that there is a social transformation that has happened in the last 50 or 60 years to where fellowship is getting more difficult not less difficult. There are a lot of people who interact through social media, but they really are isolated from other people. And you weren't meant to be the Lone Ranger. You weren't meant to be by yourself. I wasn't meant to be by myself. And so there is that very important aspect of fellowship. And it is not just that fellowship is supposed to happen when it is convenient. These people were devoted to fellowshipping with one another. That means that they were talking with one another, that they liked spending time with one another, that they were there to help one another with projects. They were there to help one another to grow in their faith. They were there to fellowship with one another so that, you know, they would not be an easy mark for the enemy. If you and I are at all able to be fellowshipping with one another, we need to take advantage of that situation. There are some missionaries that we have that come through. We had two missionaries the past 2 weeks. I think we've got another one in March sometime. And one of the things that missionaries talk about is they can go into villages in some parts of the world where there may be only one Christian in the village. In some places, there's only one Christian in a region. And in some countries, there may be less than 100 Christians in the entire country. Missionaries will come and tell us, you know, on the mission field, there are missionaries from different organizations. They may be Baptist and Assemblies of God, and there may be missionaries from other fellowships that are there as well. And they said, when you are on the mission field, you realize how much you need one another, because you're all in this spiritual warfare and you need the fellowship that comes from other believers. And this is not only something that needs to be available, it is something that we need to be devoted to, where we are very determined and very intentional. We just don't hope that it happens, but instead that we make it happen. So I was, when we first came to the church, there were six people in the church plus four in my family. So the first week we had 10, second week we had 9, third week we had 8. And you would think that I would be able to remember all of their names. No, I wasn't. It was very unusual because they had never met me and I'd never met them. And yet I was installed by the district as the new pastor of the church. So I was in my early 30s, and the previous pastor, their service started at 10, but they didn't have Sunday school. And then that service went until, you know, noon or whatever time they got done. I don't know what time that was. And I realized at that point, that first Sunday, I think we were done. We were done by 11. I had brought in a tape. You know, we had conversations. The former pastor's wife was the piano player, so I knew there wasn't going to be any musicians that were available. And so the church that I was at, I went to the piano player there, and we recorded her playing certain songs, and that's how we led worship. And then I got a tambourine to help things out, and that you don't want me as the just not good. Rough start. So we lead the songs, we share some announcements, introduce ourselves and things like that. I preach the word, I pray the closing prayer, and bam, everybody's gone. There's only one person that I can remember that didn't make it out the back, or, you know, make it out through the doors before I was able to get back there. And that was because he was recovering from being hit by a car, and it took him 45 minutes to walk to church, and he lived right across the street. And so there wasn't a lot of fellowship that was going on. So we came in the middle of December, and so we decided on a Wednesday night that we were going to have a Christmas dinner. And so we bought a chicken. I think my wife may have cooked that. I'm not sure. I know this. There weren't any of the wholesale clubs around at that point in time. We might have got it from a grocery store that had a deli. I'm not sure. But there were people who came to the fellowship dinner, and they didn't eat, but they came for the fellowship. That's the type of history that the church had. You know, you could say amen at 12 o'clock and you could have the building locked up, everybody gone, and on their way home by 12:05, including the pastor. So that was the foundation. We wanted to change that. You see, we believe that the church should enjoy spending time with one another. The early church would sometimes title their meetings as agape feast, where they would come together and they would feast on the unconditional love of God that all of them had been a recipient of. And so we come not only to love God, but to love one another. And so little by little, the church began to grow. Little by little, the dynamic began to change from where everybody was racing out the door. We still have some that do that. But now, on a Wednesday night, I will get to the office before 9 on Wednesday, and I will not leave the property sometimes until as late as 9:30. Our service ends at 8 to 8:15 generally on a Wednesday night. You say, well, what is everybody doing during that extra hour that you were there? Well, sometimes we're setting up for a men's Bible study that meets in our sanctuary on Friday mornings. But most of the time, people are standing around talking with their brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoying the fellowship. They are devoted to that fellowship. And so, you know, there's the joke. Why are we always the last ones to leave? And I tell people, it's my fault. It's my fault, because we intentionally created an atmosphere where people enjoy being around other believers. I had a lady, she's passed away now, but she was a lady who was a couple of decades older than I am. But when she first started coming to the church, I have what's called the patented pastoral side hug. That means that I will come up and I will give ladies a pat on the shoulder while I'm standing off to the side. It's not it's a platonic hug. There, that's what, you know, it's like, hey, I'm really glad to see you. And she made this statement, you know, that's the only hug I get all week. I look forward to coming to church just so that I can have fellowship with other believers. And Pastor, thank you for doing it a proper way, expressing love and appreciation for your body or for the body of Christ. And I just enjoy, and she was a vital and important part of our church until she had to move out of the area. The early church realized how important it was not to just see people in a corporate worship setting, but to interact with one another throughout the week. So they were devoted to Jesus. Yes, they were devoted to the Word, but they were also devoted to spending time with one another. And so social media has helped some. Earlier in the month of January, my wife and I, we came down with COVID, and she was a couple of days later than I was. It impacted us for me 2 days, her for 3 days, but then we had to wait and make sure that, you know, we were clear and healthy and not contagious to the people around us. And so there was a Sunday in January, I had an evangelist that was going to be there to speak, and we had to watch Merit Assembly of God. There's two ways to watch it. One is on YouTube and the other is on our Facebook page. And so that Sunday morning, I got up, I got dressed as if I was going to church. We got the program up on the television. When it came time to stand for worship, my wife and I, we stood in our front room and we worshiped the Lord, and we had our check. We put it like we were putting it in the offering basket. We heard the Word. But I will tell you this, it was sufficient, but it wasn't phenomenal. It just wasn't the same as being there in person. There's just there's something that happens when brothers and sisters come together to worship God to the best of their ability and say, we're going to fellowship around the throne. And so I'm always looking for opportunities to have meaningful fellowship with other people. I think that there is more influence in the body of Christ when we spend time together than just when we happen to be in the same place at the same time, but we really don't interact with one another. Let me ask you about your high school experience. How many of you have ever had people that you crossed paths with and you found out that you went to school together, but you really didn't know one another? That's a completely different dynamic than knowing that you went to school with somebody because you were best friends with them. And I've had both of those experiences. So several years ago, I was playing in a golf tournament. It was a scramble, and it was one of those where they just kind of put you together with people. And so I ended up in sharing the same cart with a guy by the name of Todd. And so Todd and I didn't really know one another, and so we started talking. And he said, well, where did you go to school? And I said, well, I graduated from this school. And he said, so did I. And I said, really? And he said, what year did you graduate? And I told him, and he looked at me and he said, so did I. And we didn't recognize one another because our hairstyles had changed. He had the cool part down the middle wave that was going on. I had the big old afro because my hair is naturally curly, and I was wearing it out there about 6 inches back then. Maybe a little less in my senior year. Probably about 4 inches back in my senior year. And neither one of us recognized one another until we went back to our yearbook and we saw one another's photo. Oh yeah, I remember you. And, you know, once we made that connection, now when we see one another, because we realize that we have things in common, we're able to have fellowship with one another, not just have a legacy that we ended up being in the same school, in the same class, in the same year. Come to find out, he actually worked for the pastor that I grew up under while he was in Bible college. He ended up being a youth pastor, and my pastor had been talking to me about him, and we put the dots together, and it's like, wow, this is really kind of a cool connection. And so it's gone from just not being aware of one another, not just sharing a common past, but actually having things that you can talk about because you have fellowship with one another. You know what happens when you start hanging out with other believers? You find out about their testimony. You find out about how the grace of God was in operation in their life. You find out about some of the challenges that they've had and some of the victories that God brought into their life. And sometimes through the sharing of that information, you're sharing things that they may need to hear, and they share things that you're going to need in your life in the days to come. And I know that we're in the age where bigger is better. I know that, you know, there are some people who like to go and be a part of a crowd so that they can remain relatively obscure and anonymous, and they don't feel like everybody's knowing all their business. Trust me, none of us at Merit Assembly of God are trying to micromanage anybody's business. We've all got our hands full with the challenges that we deal with in our own realities. But you know what we do? We fellowship with one another. And if we need somebody to pray with us about something, we know that there's somebody at the church that we can share that burden with, and they will carry that load with us. The body of Christ is not supposed to keep one another at distance. We're supposed to realize how valuable and how precious the relationship that we have with one another is. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So before I came in to the radio studio, I get ready and all of that. My office manager, on Thursday, we were having a conversation, and I made this statement because I'd received a video of one of my grandchildren that morning, and so I came and I said, hey, just because I like you, And I was going to say, I'm going to share this video with you of my grandchild. That's what the, and before I could finish the sentence, she was saying, because you like me, you're going to go to the radio studio now. And I was like, that's really funny. That's a body blow right to the liver. And, you know, I tell people, I know that there are people who work in a difficult environment, but I'm spoiled because we don't have arguing. We don't have conflict. We have people at Merit Assembly of God who thoroughly enjoy being around one another. And, you know, there's all sorts of different relationships as far as, you know, how much people talk and how much people share and things like that. That depends on their comfort zone and their culture. But, you know, we just have a great time fellowshipping with one another. And I want to throw this challenge out to you that there are a lot of people who, if they were physically able, they would be out fellowshipping with the saints more and more. In fact, what happens is when you are shut in, we have some shut-ins at our church that they can't get out. And they make this statement, boy, I wish I could come to church, because I so miss the fellowship. And they will say, I enjoy getting to hang out with the people that I get to hang out with, you know, for a few minutes here and a few minutes there. But boy, do I miss coming to church. If you are looking at your life and say, you know, I am not devoted to being in church as much as I should, I want to challenge you to make 2023 the year that you be devoted not only to Christ, not only to the Word, but you be devoted to the body of Christ, not only what they can do for you, but you would be surprised at what you can do for other people. Your testimony may spark faith in somebody who's facing that same problem for the very first time, and the fact that God brought you through the things He's brought you through will build their faith to know He's going to get them through that exact same situation. So, Sunday morning, 10:30, we're going to have another fellowship opportunity at Merit Assembly of God. We pray that you will come and that you will be a part of that. If you don't have a church home, I would be privileged to journey through this life of ministry together, shoulder to shoulder with you as we build the kingdom of God for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have fellowship with somebody today. We'll see you Monday right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I thank you for the cross where all my shame was laid, broken by your power, banished to the grave. You gave yourself for me, a sinner for a king, offering your death and suffering my sin. Oh, I will give my life to you.